Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Wow, what?
'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! 'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes you have.
All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am
praise God. What a tremendous blessing. Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Words from the Word. I'm your host, Overseer Olette. I am grateful that God allowed our overseer, our apostle, to establish and maintain our time of meeting on Friday morning. We are grateful, and we're getting ready to transition into a new book, We're closing out our book on Job, and we're looking at some things that are common to Job as well as to us. We're also looking at some character studies that we are to emulate and to just to be reminded of in this season of pain and suffering. This year is enduring this. We're grateful that the message is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we are grateful that God is the same God, and He prepares us perfectly for all things and in all times. And so we did not perchance find our way into the book of Job, but rather it was a invited journey for us, because it was one that we are in need of to refresh our understanding, to receive the counsel that God has given us, the wisdom to embrace now, the knowledge and the understanding as we journey through the sevenfold blessings of the Holy Spirit. And so we have to look at Job from a different perspective, from an enlightened perspective, because the Holy Spirit has brought a truth to us that we didn't have before. And you know what? It's up to us to seek out that truth, to identify it, and to start journaling on a journey to embrace this truth. So I want to start. Bear with me.
So as we look at Job, as we look at the book of Job, when we as we talk about grace is greater than the problems we face, and as we begin to consider the choice to receive grace or to reject grace, which I thought was an interesting comparison. Well, one of the things I think would be interesting to look at is the definition that he gives for grace as a divine substance that God himself imparts to us when we are in need. And that was based out of Hebrews 4:16.
Amen.
Okay, so that's based out of Hebrews 4:16. It says God's grace is equal to any injury that we may ever come in contact with. As pressures and temptations increase, so does the availability of God's grace. Therefore, there's no no reason or excuse. And so sometimes we are clear to make any number of excuses for our situations and scenarios, or probably more importantly, for how we're responding to our situations and scenarios. And a pastoral colleague always says, don't make excuses, make adjustments. And so I actually thought that that was an interesting statement. Don't make excuses, make adjustments, because we're very comfortable sometimes making and or accepting excuses. And so, and one of the, I can't speak for anybody else, but one of the challenges for me, as the author mentioned, is that there is no reason to become bitter. And sometimes what we do is we superficially agree with God, but we haven't processed it, and nor do we spiritually, or if we go back to those 33 heart conditions, nor does our heart, is our heart in alignment with that? So it becomes easy, we become bitter. But it says when a man or woman grows bitter, it's because available grace has consistently been rejected. You know, I have a right to feel this way. Or just something that I would be more likely to say, my position or my disposition is as good as it can be so that I could be in the alignment with the rest of Scripture that says as much as life is here, you live peaceably. And so you know how we use Scripture, but we abuse Scripture as opposed to allow Scripture to minister to us and heal us. And so you have it. This, he makes reference to several different scriptures. And he goes on to talk about Miss Bailey, who underwent, you know, open heart surgery. She had it a few times, actually. And in her extreme weakness and condition, and because of the carelessness of the nurse, she fell to the floor, hitting her head and breaking her nose. So she said within herself, Lord, I can't complain a little bit. And the Lord answered kindly from Romans 13 and 14, Audrey, provision for your flesh. And so when I'm reading this, unfortunately, Overseer has issues, as far as I'm concerned. As I'm reading this, I reflect that my first brain surgery when I contracted spinal meningitis, it was because a nurse gave me medicine with her hands. She had not washed her hands. And that simple act changed the course of my little life. And even though my response was, I can't complain a little bit because I immediately was no longer in the realm of consciousness. In my heart or in my mind, that's the backdrop to this germaphobe, just, you know, things after things after things that germs and things like that has a low immune system has put me there in challenging situations. And I look at this, and the Lord says in Romans 13 and 14, make no provision for your flesh. The Lord went on to say, by your own choice, you can make the situation either an ordeal or an opportunity for my grace. I cannot speak for any of the multiple people online, and it's about y'all. But so the Lord could just break out to say you can make it an ordeal or an opportunity. You know, sometimes we say we didn't make it an ordeal. The situation became an ordeal. But very seldom, I can only use me, I can't speak for you all, do we see it, our first response. Now, we may grow spiritually to the place where our response is an opportunity. But that's grace. And the scripture tells us his grace is sufficient, and his grace is made available to us in our weakness. And so sometimes we're too strong to be in a position, we're too strong within our flesh to receive the opportunities that grace affords. And so he goes on to say, it's up to you.
And then the Lord says, my joy is your strength. And so she made a decision, Lord, give me your grace. And God did, and he did it abundantly. And so I can clearly identify with that because truly on several surgical procedures that was at the hand of man, I'll put it that way, God proved himself in abundance that everybody just kind of looked and said, you had what, how many times, and all you're doing is limping. And so there, even today, we don't even have to go back 30 years, but even today when we look at the scenarios that are before us, I'm amazed at a God that has said you can make it a deal or an opportunity. And so just even as we pause for a brief second, you know, I want you to reflect over your life. How many situations have we chosen to make ordeals as opposed to opportunities for the grace of God? And then God in his sovereignty would tell us, you choose, the choice is yours. Tagline appears, choose ye this day. You know, he's really into choose, choose, choose. But it's because if he chooses for us, we won't learn the lesson. And so when we choose, we have the opportunity to practice the presence, to practice making decisions that not just include him, but make him the priority. And anytime we make a decision that doesn't make him the priority, we build up our flesh. But every time that we do it and we make him the priority over our rights, then we actually give grace space to expand itself. So anyway, the scripture goes on to say, if we choose to receive it, God's grace is able to sustain us and keep us sweet. Even in the cruelest trial. However, we may choose to reject the grace and harden our hearts instead. What will you decide? God offers us grace, divine enablement that can equal and exceed any injuries that come into our lives. He promises, according to 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, my grace is sufficient for thee. How many of us with that statement, and then I'm going to give it to Overseer, because this is too much for me. How many of us with that statement call God a liar? Your grace is not sufficient. I need more than your grace. I need, you know, you to pay them back, to get them. I need you to fix it. I need you to heal it. Actually, I'm questioning why you let it come our way. But just, you know, the audacity of the grace of God to be all we need. And so when we look at grace, God's enablement, grace is a divine, when we consider what grace is, grace, the rejection of grace makes us have ordeals. The receiving of grace gives us an opportunity. And how many situations have come in our life just because God needs the opportunity, because God needs the opportunity, God has given us the opportunity to choose him over our situation. The next portion of this is meekness, and I'm positive Overseer wants to do it.
Well, I don't think we're really finished.
Well, I am.
You know, God has an awesome, awesome way of doing things and of allowing things to happen that gives us opportunity to grow and to get exposure to him. This is exposing us to a part of God that we don't know. And we can clearly say we don't know it because it is a grace that's being given. So that's one we didn't have before. And we're going to understand the joy that's in our strength. And we say it. It's a grand statement, but it also was that do we really have a knowledge of it, that the grace is in, I mean, there's strength in the grace. You know, and Overseer is just going to confess. I forgot the day was Friday. These days are just rolling into one another. And I was meandering along this morning when the apostolic one said, it's 8:54. And I'm thinking, oh my God. But it's been such a powerful lead-in for today.
Thank you. And I needed the word.
Amen. And oftentimes, we can walk away from a word. We just want to listen. But when you have the book, you have to teach it, then you can't walk away from it. And that's what happened to our apostle this morning. And it was such a wonderful blessing for me to hear. Yeah, okay. So there are some gifts of the Spirit that are just not as prevalent in the lives of the children of God as they should be. And God is choosing in this season to develop them. So this meekness means no retaliation and a holy acceptance of circumstances. So there's an acceptance of circumstances, and there's a holier than thou acceptance of circumstances. But that's different from a holy acceptance of circumstance. And so I believe that that's part of what he wants us to glean from this particular section of the message of Job. And this humility, this meekness that is non-retaliation and a holy acceptance. Holy acceptance. And so what does a holy acceptance mean to you? You're live, you're on the air probably. Hold on, I'm going to put you guys on speaker so this can be interactive. Okay. You're live and on the air with Overseer Paulette. So we're looking at a holy acceptance. We can make meekness to our relationship with people. But in future, meekness is related even more to our relationship with God. This is the reason we must never rise up in anger or retaliation against God. The one who we're going to pray for apostles, not his people. There is a lot of, I detect bitterness. Whoa. I'm so sorry. They are really taking full advantage of their wonderful, wonderful love as daughters, and they are assisting over here phenomenally. One in silence and one grumbling and complaining.
The one in silence
ain't silent.
You all are.
Huh?
You all are funny. I heard my apostle say, I'm going to turn it over to overseer because I can't. This is too much for me. And I wanted to ask the apostle.
He said,
apostle said, I'm going to turn it over to overseer because this is too much for me. And so she said, I'm sure overseer wants to speak on meekness. So I said, Apostle, what's too much for you? I'm enjoying you. She said, this is becoming too much for me.
Yes, and that's the beauty of it. God doesn't just stop. When we start wiggling and getting uncomfortable about where he's going, he's not going to stop. Yeah. He's going to keep going. And you know what? It's going to be a blessing to us, and we are going to grow in places that we just had no idea. And they will change our lives because they give us an insight into him that we never had before. So we get to enjoy him. Yes, this meekness. No retaliation, not in your thought process, not in your dreams, not in your daydreams, because apostle can have some daydreams, I tell you. So, but it is a subject that we have to be careful, because the Bible says, you know, don't provoke those that have the rule over you, you know, because they are warring on your behalf. So don't make it grievous for them. We need their prayers. We need their position in our lives that establish a truth that needs to be declared and decreed and to manifest itself in our life. And so this this whole grace, the grip of grace, we've looked at grace in itself, and still we have not seen it all. We have not really understood it all as it relates to transforming us. Okay. Amen.
Yeah.
So
I am a
Go ahead.
Under when I was reading the review of the thing, and then at the bottom it said Jehovah reserves the right to do whatever he desires in our lives. Yet every action he takes toward man is saturated in wisdom, mercy, and love. And I had made the note that when things come into our lives, we don't really see it, see this, you know, when we're going through that. You're not looking at it that way or even thinking in those terms. I can speak for myself sometimes when people or even myself, I say, well, what is really going on? You know, why is this? Why is that? And I think that's the first thing that it's just in that and man to say why or, you know, what did I do to cause this or, you know, we just have many questions. But, you know, the writer was saying that if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. And he had elaborated on the generation that came out of Egypt and how they, you know, the attitude that they had and the harsh words that they spoke against God, and they had closed their heart to him. But Caleb and Joshua knew how to win God's favor by their right confession to God. So he was saying right confession is the key to winning God's favor. Instead of complaining about the situation, you know, acknowledge, continue to acknowledge God for who he is. And I think, you know, sometimes we're in the complaining, we're not hearing him either, because our complaint is clouding or crowding out his voice, so we can't hear him or even hear his word arising up in us, which is implanted within us. We can't even hear it. It can't get through to us because, you know, our discontent or whatever is clouding it out.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Oh, boy.
And even when the talking about, you know, what the young lady, the lady had been through, and then her falling and her experiencing that, and I know most times our response is, okay, Lord, now how much more, you know, now I went through this, now, you know, here comes something else. And then sometimes I'll find myself saying, okay, now, Lord, I know you can stop this, you know, or, you
right.
know, I'm just looking at world situations, you know, world situations. Come on now, Lord, you can stop this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
yeah.
too much going on now.
And again.
I know what your word says about, you know, the end time, the days and this and that. And I said, well, this is really something else here.
Oh, no.
You're good. Just in conversating with him. And being able to conversate and say things in the right way and not in a, you know, with anger or, you know, like that.
Yeah.
But this lesson causes you to really, what's the word, reflect. Upon your own response, way of responses to situations and to God, you know, it causes you to reflect upon yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It does. And not just reflecting on how are your thoughts now going to be different from the way they were before. I know that, you know, we know that God, it goes through God. Okay, we got that. You know, and, you know, it's like, okay, I got your point. You know, but that's not what he's waiting on. He's not waiting on us to critique the message by which he chooses to send us through a circumstance or situation. He needs us to trust him to do that. And then to rejoice in it being done by him through love. The fact that it's being done because he loved me. And understanding what that's going to look like on his side, not my side. Because that's that love that we have a hard time understanding and giving that kind of love. you know, we're easy to cave in, or, you know, we make a stand and then we feel, well, we stood long enough. Now we can go back to, you know, helping them or, you know, being of assistance or whatever the circumstances that were altered are, you know. But oftentimes we don't have the, if you will, the strength and the joy of doing it, and which will give us the strength to see it through to the end, to see it through to the end in a way that is very positive, that is encouraging, that is teachable to people that are watching. That's why people don't know the process, because they don't see it lived out enough in the lives of God's children, where we allow him to have his way, really have his way. And then we be in joy to tell him that is a joy. And joy is a choice. This is all a choice. He can make us his servant, but that's not his desire. His desire is for us to want to be. And to want to be, we have to want more and more of him. I was going to say all of him. We do have to want all of him. But every day, more and more of him, we need to be looking for and embracing and treasuring, because he's giving it to us. He's giving us his grace, his divine substance, the divine portion of who he is. It's like he cuts a finger off and gives it to him, but he doesn't do that. But just this part of him is imparted into us. And so when we come to a close on a study like this, there are priorities that need to have been put in place, have to take place. There are priorities that have to shift and become transformed, the area of that portion of our thinking that just isn't the way it was before. It just isn't the way it was before. We can't even comfort someone the way we comfort them before, unless we were being, you know, completely led by the Spirit of God. But other than that, you know, it's going to even look different of how we interact with one another. I think that there'll be a more of a valuable caution. In other words, it's going to be valuable. It's easy for somebody to call and, you know, just kind of do the hospitality thing, you know, but it's another to call and impart a spirituality in a situation that is difficult and in need of a grace. And that grace being demonstrated to be more than sufficient. And so as the author summarizes our choice to receive grace or to reject grace, and we see the different resulting circumstances that it will encompass, either as an opportunity or becoming better, being a stepping stone, or rejecting it, being an ordeal, becoming bitter and a stumble block. And that's one of the ways that we can measure up our response to a circumstance or situation is which one of these things does it provide? You know, does it give us an opportunity for better, an opportunity, or can we sense just the onset of bitterness, or the onset of a stiff neck, you know, onset of, well, fine, you know, I really don't care. You know, that is not the the mindset that God is creating in his children. But is it a stepping stone? Or does it make somebody else stumble? And does it make you stumble? So these are very good measurements of how we are handling the choice. Is the psalm, the same psalm that melts wax, hardens clay. Trials soften or harden our hearts, depending upon our response. When injury comes, we have the immediate decision of either hardening our hearts or asking God for grace to keep our hearts soft and sweet. And when I first read that, I said, that's the problem. No one wants a soft, sweet heart. We weren't taught to want a soft, sweet heart. That's the heart, a sign of weakness. You know, that's a start. That's a heart that is assigning to be run over by people. You know, that soft, sweet heart is not the way you want your sons and daughters to be. You want them to be cunning. You want them to be I was going to say calculating, and yet not in a negative way, but you want those things for our children. That's what the kind of heart that you want. You don't want a heart that, you know, someone always walks on and walks over, and, you know, you feel like, you know, you're just, what do they call it, a doormat to people or whatever.
Yes, because sometimes
based on God's definition, huh?
I say yes, because sometimes that's what it looks like.
Yes.
You know, my mother used to say, "You give them an inch, they take a mile."
And yeah, just, yeah.
Oh, you know, that's what it looks like when you say a soft heart, sweet heart. Sometimes people just take what they say, kindness or weakness or something like that.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
Yeah.
And yet we have to understand this contradictory position of God. What man sees as a weakness, God sees as strength. What man sees as riches, God sees as force. Well, you know, so those things that are the first will be last, and the last will be first. So he switches things around because his viewpoint is the all-inclusive one. And because of it, he sees it all. He has a better view and understanding of it all, whereas we just see small parts and bits of it. It says the Lord has ordained all our obstacles, enemies, and problems to work for you. So he knows everything, and he put them on assignment in our life. All injustices, irritations, and sorrows are working vigorously on our behalf to produce within us all of the virtues we have just listed. Trouble is meant to be our servant. Just think of all the eternal qualities that would go unproduced if we had no. There is it is an exhausted list that we really want to go into next week, the purpose and benefit of adversity. Not that we don't know them, but we want to bring them to the forefront of our thinking, and we want to intertwine them with the things that we knew from before. We want to line them up and see where they may go amok and cause us to say things against God, unbeknownst to us, you know, but to complain about the length of this process or the direction or the path or the plan. So we just want to keep these things in the forefront of our minds so that it gives us his truth, his grace. Remember, his divine impartation, as he gives it to us, it has a resting place that he has prepared, not us, but that he has prepared. Okay?
Yeah. So sometimes I think it has to be rehearsed. We know what the word says. And as the writer had in that little box, the Lord has ordained all of our obstacles, enemies, and problems for us. We know what the word says, but then I think sometimes we have to be reminded of what the word says, because when we are confronted with so many things, with these fiery dots coming toward us, this doesn't necessarily come to the forefront of our minds. We just see the injustice, the irritations, the sorrows, and we're saying, we're either asking the Lord, why or where is this coming from, and how much more or how much longer or, something to that effect, and not really thinking, okay, what is it that he's working out of me or want to work in me?
Or
haven't I yet surrendered to him? Or what is it that I'm not doing that he wants me to do, or so many things we don't necessarily see that. Okay, he's what was that earlier on the writer was saying about the captivity? We're not seeing it as that. He's trying to work these things out of us and in us. But yes, I find it very helpful to me.
Exactly. Exactly. And a truth and a scripture that, like you say, it needs to be rehearsed. It needs to be incorporated in a very real way in our lives. Because it's the only way to make this transition, to make this change, notice.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And then when it comes to for me, I'm such a crybaby.
No.
When I'm reading, or the Lord is, I'm reading this, I'm finished, and then I well up and want to cry. Because either I've seen myself, or I'm seeing myself, or it's speaking to my spirit, my heart and whatever. And so,
Amen.
Because,
those are powerful moments. those are very powerful moments. Absolutely. Yeah. When they touch our souls, you know, mm-hmm. and we weep. You know, it's touching, you know, the very fabric of our being is being re-entwined with him and mm-hmm. parts of him. That grace is being, just like when you knit it, it's forming a pattern in the yarn. That's just a ball yeah. of yarn until you keep working it. You work it according to a pattern, and that this is the pattern he's showing us. This pattern comes in suffering, and we definitely will not be so amazed at suffering as, you know, I'll say we were 5 years ago, but understanding how it, what it brings into our life and why he does yeah. it and the difference that it makes. I know that I am different from 2019 and 20. Okay.
Yes.
That was my season. And it made a difference. It made a difference. One of the things I was looking at the list coming down, but that's on page 44, but it says this allows vicarious suffering for others. And that wasn't something that I necessarily was involved in. But since then, yeah. you know, if I hear just a symptom or whatever, then I can vicariously suffer with them because I understand now. You know, I know what that's like. I know how he brought me out and brought me through, you know, and so I can make a difference, I feel, you know, because I've gone through, because he's seen mm-hmm. me through and he provided what he did. And so it's important to me that my response to people that are suffering is one that honors him and teaches yeah. the person that's suffering how much God loves them, how much yeah. he loves them so much, just like what's in this little box, that he has ordained all our obstacles, enemies, and problems to work for us. He has established them. He knew they would exist, and he's making them do a job for us, like only he can. And as a result of that, I love it. It says, for all injustices, irritations, and sorrows are working vigorously on your behalf. Pastor had to come in. And she's going, oh, God. If nothing else, this meeting has just been fun for me, watching my apostolic walk.
Oh. Oh, God.
Yes, yes. Get off the phone. I'm going to catch it. Trust me. But we're going to all be blessed. We're going to all be blessed because it makes such a huge difference. You know what? And it's free. You know, and I do. I want my apostle. You know, I want those that labor with me to be free. Uh-huh. And this brings a level of freedom that they didn't know uh-huh. before. And it's very interesting to understand the foundational environment that Apostle has about Jern and her uh-huh. reaction to everybody about any kind of Jern at all yeah. times, at any time, uh-huh. in any place. But now when we hear it, we're going to understand. Uh-huh. You know, we can understand. And you know what? Even on her behalf, agree with her. Well, I can understand why you feel that. You know, uh-huh. you're not just being you.
Right.
But, you know, even in a fear that because I was there. She wasn't there, but she was knocked out. But I watched what it did to her body, and I watched people indifferent to it because they didn't know who she was. Not just, you know, that she was Shanette, but they felt, you know, she's just another heavyset woman. It's like, no, I know what her face looks like. It is three times bigger now. You know, I mean, literally three times bigger. And all of it was fluid on her spine from this immediate infection, just triple, double, whatever. You know, and so you understand. Now, we can't do anything about it, you know, but now she feels like she is in more control now because someone comes near her and washes her hands and don't have gloves on and all of that. And, you know, they don't definitely hear. But and sometimes people just forget, you know, and, you know, according to her, which I understand, because it took her another six to eight weeks to overcome what happened. And a lot of, she even had third-degree burns on the inside of her body. So on the inside, she had third-degree burns. Now, this such a miserable, incredible place of suffering she endured. I actually had gotten, I'm sure she had not. But it is. So we do thank her for sharing that passionately as she did. And God will bring a healing for her. So that's a blessing.
All right. So we will next.
I'm going to be more aware of it's Friday. It'll be December.
Yeah.
The year is moving along. Yes, it is. Okay. Well, be blessed, everyone. Enjoy your holiday time. Don't forget, the Advent season is upon us. Okay. And it's all about him. All about him.
Yeah.
All right. Be blessed.
God bless.
God bless. Okay. God bless you.